We have an awesome show for you today, Lil Boomers, talking about how the Blue Jackets have done the last six games, what the draft lottery odds are coming up, who's going to get the number one overall pick. It's going to be Macklin Celebrini. Who's it going to be? Injuries and call-ups with the Blue Jackets. We also do an impromptu game of love it or shove it with RFAs and UFAs coming up, which is mostly RFAs for those of you paying attention. We also do a crystal ball segment talking about what we think is going to be happening here in the next 3 years in Blue Jackets world. Who's going to be the starting goaltender? Who's going to be the all-star? All kinds of shit like that. And then we do get into Let's Get Social. We're going to answer all your questions, all your comments, all your concerns. Got a little life advice for some of you little boomers out there, so stay tuned. Before we get into it, though, just want to talk about our awesome sponsor, High Bank Distillery, highbankco.com for more info. Right over there in Grandview, Goodale Avenue, right across the street from Grandview Yard. Great spot. They're building a few new locations. Check them out, highbankco.com. They distill all their own spirits on site. They have some of the best bourbon or whiskey in the city.
I'd say the best bourbon.
Yeah. They win awards. I mean,
they win world awards.
World awards. They win for all of their spirits, for their vodkas, for their whiskeys. They have a brandy that's a port wine infusion with their bourbon. It's called Midnight Cask. It's delicious. Ugh. Absolutely delicious. Check them out. Highbankco.com for more info. We also have another sponsor. It's SeatGeek.
I mean, whenever you're sitting at the bar at High Bank or you're sitting with your friends, you know what happens. You talk to your friends and you make some like impromptu decisions. You buy tickets to something. That's great, right? Right. But the best thing you can do is to go to SeatGeek.com when you do and use promo code CBJA for $20 off your first purchase with any email. Use your mother's email. Use your dad's email. Use your grandmother's email. She's not.
Make a fake one.
Make a fake one.
Well, technically a real one, but make a new one.
Buttman420 at hotmail.
Yeah, all that.
$20 off your first purchase with each email. And go to that impromptu concert that you're going to later wish that you didn't agree to go to while you were a little bit drunk at highbank.com.
Also, drinking game. Every time we say impromptu in this podcast, take a drink. It's more than you think.
Impromptu, 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 impromptu.
SeatGeek.com or download the app, promo code CBJA for $20 off your first time purchase with each email.
Seat your geek.
Hey, Fifth Line, this is Greg Murray, the voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets, and you're listening to the Artillery Podcast, the number one Blue Jackets podcast in the world. Or so they say. Here are your hosts.
Who wrote this, by the way?
Welcome into the podcast, Lil Boomers. My name is Kyle, Bucket Hat Kyle. I am your host today, and I am joined here by...
me.
Warren.
Me? Well, Warren.
It was going to be a solo epi for me today, but Warren, last second, was like, hey, I got everything I needed to get done, taken care of.
I'm good to go, baby.
I'm good to go. Jordan today is under the weather. Baby. Understandable. He's sick. He's sick boy. Braden's is balls deep in school and baseball right now, so we understand that, you know.
I'm so proud of little Bray Bray.
He's doing so good.
He's such a little pitcher.
He's doing so good. We love Braden so much, and Jordan, and everybody that's, and all the other people, and all you little boomers out there. It's the Warren, it's the Kyle Warren and Kyle pod today, everybody. We tried to do this once before. It was at a live podcast we did at High Bank Distillery. You and I sat down on the benches in the back right by the stills, and we sat there and tried to record a podcast, and might have been the worst thing we've ever... I still have it in my phone in my recordings. The worst thing we've ever done. It was terrible.
Like, you mixed, like, just the two of us trying to throw together, like, a last-second, just, like, off-the-wall podcast, and you mix it in with, like, just pure pandemonium going around you, just people talking, yelling, shouting. It's like, record a podcast.
Yeah, it wasn't good. But that's what we do we do our live podcast, right? And it works.
Yeah.
It's because Jordan's such a good host.
Yeah, I guess.
And so. I will use my last breath to say Jordan's the best podcast host I know.
Deal. What are the odds you do that? What's the odds of the last words you say in your life? One out of what?
One in, oh my God, how many words have I said? One in 10,000.
On your deathbed.
On my deathbed.
If we say the same number.
My last sentence is, Jordan was the best podcast host I ever knew. And then I die.
All right. On
one in 10,000.
All right. So 1, 2, 3, we'll say the number.
Got it.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
6,347.
Thank God.
Woo.
Jordan was the best.
But the universe is weird. It might remember that. The universe might remember that I just said that. And then I'll die in a few weeks. And I'll say that.
You'd be like, remember that one time I said that I would say my last words are going to be, Jordan is the best podcast host.
And then I get hit by a car.
And like aneurysm.
So anyways, welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
We have a show for you today. So we'll just go through it here to begin with. We haven't done a podcast in a few, like it's been a week and a half now since we've done a podcast. Hasn't been a lot to talk about. We did that Friday pod.
Yeah, which I wasn't here for.
You weren't here for. Yeah. So there's been a lot that's happened just in the NHL world and also around hockey just in general. So we'll go into news and notes here. And talk about it. But before we get there, how have you been, Warren? How's everything going for you?
Well, I had my birthday recently, and I went to Texas, and then I got back, and then I took Haley to Florida. So I had like a whole week by myself, and I just missed my wife.
Well, you dropped her off at the airport
for
the plane to take her to Florida.
Yeah.
You didn't take her to Florida.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I drove her down to Cincinnati, and then at like 4 in the morning, and then ironically, I picked her up. And got home from the airport at like 3 a.m.
That's ridiculous.
That is awful.
Ridiculous.
So
air travel is an absolute disaster right now. And I have no plans because of everything that's happened so far in 2024. Danny and I have zero plans to air travel at all this year.
Don't fret about air travel. Just make sure that you do Airbus. Airbus has been fantastic.
Airbus has good planes. Boeing does not.
Boeing is just a victim of its own success and just focused on the dollar and not making sure their tests and everything are done well and upkeep. Airbus has been coming in, and I'd say in the next 5 to 10 years, I'd say probably 10 years, they're going to be bigger than Boeing.
That'd be crazy, huh?
Because Boeing is scary.
Wow, what's going on there? It's crazy stuff right now.
Just don't fly a 737 MAX. Avoid those.
Yeah, they're like the plague. Things are just falling off of them right now. It's pretty wild. It's been a pretty uneventful week and a half okay.
That's why we're talking about planes right now.
Which is okay. I mean, that's okay. We had a Danny birthday last weekend as well. Your birthdays are pretty close together.
They are. What'd you get her?
I got her a pickleball bag with her initials with her initials embroidered onto it. So it's a gorgeous bag, and she uses it now every day for not pickleball things because she likes it so much.
How convenient.
Means I did a great job.
You did fantastic. And also, how convenient you guys had the same starting letters for your last name.
I know. I said that. I didn't even think about it when I was getting it embroidered, right? But when I brought it home and like I was just worried about getting it ready for her to like open and all these things when I brought it home and she opened it and all this stuff and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to change that. No, I'm not.
No,
I'm not going to have to change. Your last name initial is not going to change. Just. It's just the actual name to Danny Spencer instead of.
That's such a win.
Isn't that awesome?
That's
so
great.
Cool. Yeah. So. So it's good to, it's good to hear. It's always good to be kind of uneventful, right? Events, big events can be life changing, throw wrenches in the gears or so they say.
They've said that.
Somebody said that. But anyways, we're here to talk about hockey today. Warren and Kyle here to talk about hockey today.
Here we go.
And we're going to do it. So let's just get right into the news and notes. The first bullet point that I have here is a grim one. Just want to throw some awareness out there. Chris Simon, dead at age 52 by suicide. Rest in peace, Chris Simon. He was an enforcer, played for the Rangers, was in the league for a long time, was one of those guys that kind of made the game what it was then. When you think about it, the game 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was physical. It was big hits. The rules weren't in place that they are now, right? So a lot more went then, and he took full advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the kind of guy he was. The reason that he committed suicide, this is from his family, was from CTE.
Yeah.
Too many fights, too many hits, things like that. Kind of the same issue that we're seeing in the NFL as well with CTE from former players. Not as much now because of the technology and the awareness to concussions and everything that's been coming out, but Concussions have been a big deal, and you know this has happened in football before. Oh, yeah. Junior Seau is a notable one that, you know, he killed him. He shot himself in the chest. He killed himself. Junior Seau did because he wanted to give his brain to science for CTE. Was crazy. The reason that he gave before he killed himself. So just an awful, tragic thing that is happening to former players of these physical sports from a time when the rules, the technology wasn't there, the awareness of it wasn't there. And so now we're kind of seeing that now. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to bring awareness to CTE, to the players now. Like, this brings up Patrick Laine again with the mental health aspect and kind of taking a step away if you think you have to, and that's mm-hmm. perfectly okay. And that's not just in hockey, but in any aspect of life. Mm-hmm. If you feel you're not mentally there and you feel that something is off, take a break, go figure it out, and maybe come back or maybe don't. I mean, it's just what it is. So I don't really have much else to say about that. I don't know if you do or not. It's just insanely tragic, and I feel for his family and his friends for on this aspect.
Yeah, I think something that's nice to point out, well, kind of, it's a double-edged sword, is like when you look at the NFL, like they've made a lot of strides, in my opinion, to that the fight against these kinds of things, this, like CTE, stuff like that, the equipment they wear, kind of the rule changes they've made have been necessities at times. And I think the same thing, unfortunately, the same thing is going to happen when it comes to NHL. What comes from it, I'm not sure. The unfortunate side is, like, it's just not as big of a sport, and it's not happening at the same timeline. Sports like the NFL, where they've really taken strides in these CTE attacks, and I think this is going to be a big step in the really understanding what's going on and how those past years are affecting the present time and how this present time can improve for the future. So
absolutely,
it is unfortunate, and like what you talked about, like, it's okay to not be okay. These things are very important.
Absolutely.
It's something that everyone knows somebody
who
has these issues.
Barring hockey from this entirely, if you are somebody listening to this right now that feels that you're not all there or feels like something's off mentally or physically or anything, please just go find help. It's okay to not be okay, like you just said. So there is people there to help and people who do care. So I just wanted to get that out of the way to begin with, because I feel like it's very important to talk about this every time, because hockey isn't everything. It's a game. It's something we all gravitate towards, but it is something that
out.
Yeah, it's something that there's serious life implications that can come out of this later down the road. So I do think that the NHL recently, over the last 10, 15 years, has made changes to rules and things like that, and how the game is played to kind of eliminate a lot of the, not a lot, but some of the physicality to where people can get hurt on this, suspensions and things like that. You know, that Patrick Laine hit earlier this year where he took one to the head with 3 seconds left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Concussion immediately after off of that. You know, that's Rasmus Anderson did that with the Flames. He was suspended for three to five games. I don't remember what it was, but you know, there are things that there's consequences now for being on the aggressive end of some of these things, and I think that's important. I know there's a lot of purists, and I'm on that end and in some aspects of the purist side where it's the game and leave it how it is because it's the game that we all love. But I think at the end of the day, there's personal implications to this at when you're not playing the game that mm-hmm. can come out of this that have to be talked about. So that's why I wanted to bring that up, and we'll move on from that. But rest in peace, Chris Simon. I hope his family can find peace. And I just am thinking about them and everything they're going through right now. So
absolutely.
Moving on from that into more news and notes for hockey. The Blue Jackets right now 1-3-2 in their last 6 games. Kind of falling off here. They did have a run after the All-Star break a little bit where they won 3 of 4, and you know they were playing well. Yeah. And that's when Roslovic and Peak were still on the team, and Boquist wasn't hurt, and Kent Johnson wasn't hurt, and we'll get into the injuries and all these things coming up here. But the performance recently, right now, are you surprised by like what's happening with the team? 1-3-2 in the last 6. Are you surprised by this? Are you upset? Okay with it? Like what are your thoughts on the record here in the last 6 games?
I'm not upset by it. I'm just kind of, we've talked about it before. It's just like, man, it's kind of tough at times watching the team, and it's just the disconnect that sometimes make it all the worse. But I think what's the upsetting part about this is overall, I feel like we haven't had like that injury bug that we've dealt with in the past few years. And now it seems like it's starting to happen, which it's in a pointless season, a pointless time. So the positive you can say is you're getting some of these AHL players up. Just try and get them as many minutes as possible, I'd say. But like, it's just so, it is what it is. It's my answer when I'm not listening on the podcast and I say, yeah, man, I don't get it either. It's just, it is what it is. But obviously I would love to see some wins, but yeah, man, it's just.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like at this, I mean, the draft coming up is top heavy. Macklin Celebrini, obviously being the number one overall pick this year. This kind of reminds me of the draft, like the Lafreniere draft a few years ago. Alex Lafreniere was the odds on number one overall pick, and New York got the number one overall pick that year in the lottery, and they get Lafreniere, and then Lafreniere is kind of been nothing since, right? So and he's been playing him, but like he hasn't left the NHL squad. He's been with the NHL squad. He's been there. He might have been hurt every now and then, I don't know, but just has not lived up to that number one overall status. And I know now Celebrini is 17 years old, playing in the American system. He's playing for Boston University and is the leading scorer in the team. One of the leading scorers in the league in the NCAA, I think, if not the leading scorer. I don't have the stats right in front of me, but and also the odds on favorite to win the Hobie Baker this year, which is what Fantilli won last season.
It's a big deal.
So yeah, as a 17-year-old, that's a big deal, right? So
yeah.
Having said that, I'll just go right into this next point we have here. Who gets Celebrini? I mean, who gets this number one overall pick right now? We've got Chicago is right now the second to worst team in the league, I believe. San Jose is below them. At the worst team in the league, and then it's Anaheim, I believe, and then the Blue Jackets are fourth, and then I don't remember. It's something like that. So the top five are kind of the same, or the bottom five are kind of the same they were last season. Who gets the number one overall pick this year? You want to say it together?
Yeah, on three. One, two, three.
Chicago.
It's going to happen. It's
going to happen.
You have seen it in the past, not with Chicago, but with a team that was going to succeed. Say it on three. One, two, three.
Pittsburgh.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin come to mind when I'm thinking of this, right?
Exactly. It's what it is. Do what it do, Yugi. You know it's going to happen. And I would love to see it to honestly go to anybody else in that bottom five.
Now, I do see, like, there being some prospects in this draft that come out and surprise people. Like, in every draft, there's
somebody.
Late first-rounders, second, third-rounders. Right, that come out.
Undrafted.
A Cam Atkinson, who was a third-round pick, I believe. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. I think he was a third-round pick. There's whatever. Besides just the Blue Jackets, there's players in every draft that come out later and are amazing, even though they were drafted late. So I could see that being kind of one of these drafts. But this draft is the reason – this draft class is the reason I've been saying the Blue Jackets should trade their first round pick this year. Mm-hmm. I think they should move it because I think that there's nothing in this draft right now that I can see right now that is going to overtake any of the prospects that we have in the system already that you can't make better by trading that away for something that is already proven. So that is the reason I keep saying that. I don't know how much how much ass there is behind that, right? Or how much legs that has. I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but
how much ass I think
yeah,
it
how
is,
much
yeah.
ass there is behind that.
How much ass is behind that thing you said?
It's got a dump truck, baby. but yeah, I don't know. I feel like I think we're gonna get a top five pick, and I think trading that this season would probably be the best thing to do.
If we are the last, you still think so?
No, it depends on the lottery. I mean, I think you wait for the lottery to happen, then you move the pick, right?
I think we've done it before, and we've not gotten the first pick, but I think if we get last, I think there's no doubt that we get the first pick. I think that's the only caveat between Chicago
and there's,
the first
there's and not, there's no way. San Jose has like 39 points right now. Mm-hmm. We have 58. Like, there's no chance that we are getting last in the league at this point. There's just no chance. San Jose sold their entire team
they
at the
did.
Deadline. No chance in hell that we are getting the first overall pick this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw we played Chicago at Chicago last week, handled them.
Yeah.
You know, like we're not losing. We almost beat Detroit last night. We should have beat Detroit last night. We're not getting that pick. We're not getting those lottery odds by any means.
We'll see. All right. Not happening. Second place.
After the lottery or before?
Before.
Still not gonna happen because Chicago's still that low, far down there. But I still think you move it. I think you move it because you can move the draft capital and the value behind those draft picks are so high. The draft capital is such a valuable thing that teams have, and I think that is something that you can move. And I truly believe that if you use your top five pick this season and try to package that with Elvis to move that contract, you're gonna get a bite. I'm telling you, you take this pick and this $5.5 million contract. We're not retaining everything. That's why we're giving you this pick.
Yeah.
And you take this contract off our hands
mm-hmm.
for your second round pick. All right.
Growing up, my family and I went to Logan's, and I didn't finish my meal, but I wanted dessert. And my dad said, "You want dessert?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "All right." And they used to have like a tray thing of just like six different types of mustards. And he's like, "If you want dessert, you got to have one of each of these mustards." And I hate mustard, but I wanted dessert. So I did every single one of them, and I hated my life, but I got dessert. That's the first thing I thought of when it was like, "Hey, you want this top five draft pick?" Yeah, I do.
Warren, I feel like there's some things we can unpack there.
No.
You know, some childhood things we can unpack there.
Don't read beyond that. I had a great childhood. I love my life.
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, you want that first round draft? You want that
go eat
top
some
five? Yeah, go eat some mustard. Take his contract.
Take this contract. That'd be the way to do it. I'm just saying. Oof. I mean, they tried to move him earlier in the season. They couldn't. Yep. Everything fell through. That's why they sent Spencer Martin down. That's why they put him on waivers. And now we no longer have Spencer Martin.
Well,
and
also,
we lost Spencer Martin earlier.
We couldn't send down Tarasov because we have trust that he's going to be something. And if we sent him down, he would have to go through that. And someone's going to pick him up on waivers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's like, do you do that with Spencer, or do you do that with Tarasov?
Well, yeah, but they only had to make that choice because they couldn't move Elvis because everything fell through. Because nobody wants that contract. Even if it's 50% retained, nobody wants that $2 million contract for a mediocre goaltender who has anger issues.
I don't know. John Davidson talked about how he was like, there's some options that we had at the trade deadline, but we didn't make it because I would rather have the GM do it. Because
they
future.
Don't want to retain any salary. They're not going to retain salary without a GM. Like, it's just not going to happen. And ownership hates retaining salary. They hate it. Why are they paying somebody for 5 years that isn't on the team?
We're doing that with so many. Why do we stop
Only
now?
Only one, Winberg. But it's like $1 million a year for the next 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
That's it. That's it right
we've
now.
We've finally gotten it down to one.
Yeah, and that was a buyout. And that wasn't even a salary retention. They just bought him out. All right, moving on from that. Celebrating, talked about that. And then injuries and call-ups for the Blue Jackets. So we talked about how they've kind of been struggling the last six games. Not kind of. They have absolutely been struggling the last six games. Here are your recalls and let's start with the injuries. Injuries as of March 3rd. March 3rd, which was 3 weeks ago.
Can I take a guess at how many there have been?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I don't know because I just haven't kept track so much, but I'm going to say five.
Close. Pretty much. So it's been six.
Jeez.
It's been six injuries since March 3rd. Elvis being one of them with an upper body day-to-day who was then cleared on March 7th. So that technically doesn't count right now, right? Because he was injured then cleared. So that was the sixth one. Kent Johnson, torn labrum, out for the season with a shoulder, torn labrum, March 3rd.
Gosh, so many labrums on our team.
Yeah, third one in the last two seasons.
It's awful, man.
It has been five. I'm sorry. Sean Corrali's been out lower body week to week. Yegor Chinnikov, upper body day to day since March 13th. So that's been a week ago. He hasn't seen the ice since then. And then Adam Boqvist, wearing that Glass Bones number 27 there.
Dear Lord.
Upper body, March 15th, unknown. Still an unknown status there on Adam Boqvist. So can only assume that he's out the rest of the season. And then the call-up. So recalls and reassignments since also March 3rd. Jet Greaves up on emergency. He played a few games, I believe, while Elvis was out. Tarasov still being the number one there. He went back down after Elvis was cleared on March 7th. Trey Fix-Wolanski is up. Carson Meyer is up. Brendan Gaunce is up. Michael Pathia is up. And Jake Christensen is also up since March 3rd. So those are all your recalls since then as well. I mean, a third of the team, a quarter of the team now is now AHL of the four. Yeah, a quarter. Less than a quarter. You get what I'm saying, though. Still AHL players. I think Trey Fix-Wolanski deserved a shot anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what he's done in the AHL. I just don't think he's panning out in the NHL.
He's a lifetime.
He's had a lot of opportunities at this point. Also, some of these are because of the Jack Roslovic and Andrew Peak trade that happened at the deadline as well. They had to kind of fill in there. So, also with Fantilli being out, right? Fantilli probably won't see the ice the rest of the season. That's not confirmed, but there's 12 games left. And there's just like, I just don't see there being a point right now.
Yeah, there's no reason
to bring him back.
There's not a, you shouldn't try and rush and squeeze him in for like two games. Just
it's time to shut him down. And I said this weeks ago.
Yeah.
I hate tooting my own horn, right? I know I say that a lot recently.
I agreed with you too.
Yeah, shut him down for the season. A calf laceration on an 8-week, like, just let it heal. There is nothing to win. There's nothing to do this season at this point.
That just hurts me when I hear that.
Oh, imagine a skate just cutting through the back of your calf.
Just
yikes.
Oh.
So on top of that, this wasn't part of the show flow, and I didn't even send you a show flow, but you don't read them anyways.
Nah, I don't care.
There's a lot of players that need extensions.
Yeah.
As of right now. A lot of them. And a lot of notable players in Blue Jackets land. So I'm just going to start from the top here. And let's go through and play a little game here. This is an impromptu game I just thought of off the top of my head. Sign or re-sign. Or let go, like move or re-sign, right? And a lot of these guys are RFAs, so this game doesn't really like track as well. Because RFAs, you get compensation regardless if they go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And also, you can match that offer. So
let's do love it or shove it.
Love it or shove it. Love it or shove it. Yeah. RFAs and UFAs coming up. I'm just going to start from the top here. This is from capfriendly.com. Love Cap Friendly. Check them out. They have a great, great website. Also, if you're a basketball fan, they have a basketball version, NBA version now of Cap Friendly. It's a great tool. I absolutely love capfriendly.com. The reason I just did that, just full transparency, they don't sponsor us at all, but I use Cap Friendly on my Chrome, on Google Chrome, with ad blocker. So every time I pull it up, they're like, oh, you want to continue without supporting us? Go ahead. Yeah, you don't want our ads. You don't want to support us? Then here you go. You can use it, but here, continue without supporting us.
There you go. Leave me alone.
So now I've given them an ad, a free ad, so I won't feel guilty about that anymore. All right. Starting from the top.
Yeah.
Alexander Texier, 24-year-old RFA at $1.5 million this season. Love it or shove it.
He's really not worth much more than that. If we don't sign him for around that same amount, shove it.
Yeah, you think shove it?
Yeah.
24-year-old. I don't have points right here.
He's RFA. We can see what we can get.
I think that there should be a bridge deal in place there to get him to 27 to UFA to 27 years old. But at the same price, he's $1.5 million AAV right now. I think you need to keep it between 1.5 and 2 going forward.
Or not go above 2.
Right now, it's just too expensive for that guy. He hasn't proven enough to me this season to where you're more than that. I mean, he shows signs here and there, but in my opinion, I think that right now with what you're doing with this team, now on the other side of that, there is not a lot of depth behind him with that skill. I don't think, but there are guys, Gavin Brindley's coming. Like, we have guys coming that are, that are younger, but they are coming, right?
Yeah.
How long have we been saying that?
Supposedly.
Yeah.
We haven't been saying it for that long. Like, the realistic guys. We have been saying that for a long time with just hope. This is the first year of like, we've got some guys coming up.
We have a, by every, I think the lowest rank I've seen our prospect pool by every like article making company out entity out there is third.
Yeah.
So like we have a top three prospect pool in the league. I think that there's guys. Yeah. But if we're trying, you're trying to win sooner than later, I think at this point, maybe it's time for the Blue Jackets fans and myself even just to like accept that we are in a rebuild.
Yeah. We are.
Squares. How long smack dab been? In the middle of it.
Since 2019?
No, because they were winning then.
Okay, so 2020.
2021, I would say. 2021 when Kent Johnson was drafted, Seth Jones was traded. Mm-hmm. That was the start of the rebuild, and that's when we were told by Yarmo it was a retool. We were there in Nationwide Arena.
It is a retool.
Watching him
me.
In person on the floor of Nationwide Arena tell everybody that was watching on TV and everybody in that arena that this is not a rebuild, this is a retool.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, that was kind of the beginning of the rebuild.
He was just trying not to get fired. Oops.
I do love Yarmo still. I don't care what anybody says. All right, next guy, Kirill Marchenko, 23 years old, $925,000 deal right now, two-way. Love it or shove it?
Love it. Sign him. Put it like 1.5.
I think it's low. I love it as well, but I think around like between the $3.5 to $4 million for the next 3 years, maybe even more than that. I mean, he started hot, right? He broke the rookie record for goals last year.
You're right. Depends. I'm looking at him right now. Like he's been kind of down right
recently,
now. But like
he's
overall,
not been playing well.
He did get a goal yesterday. He's back. He's going to score for the next six games.
Hope so.
It's going to happen.
Streaky.
So, yeah, I say that wrong. I think, 3 million and man, would love like five year.
I could see it getting. I don't think so. I think it's going to be three or less. He's 23 now. That'll get him to UFA.
Yeah.
You know, I think that he's all these deals for the young guys right now, I think are getting them bridge deals to get to UFA. Almost identical to what Zach Werenski did. Zach Werenski, three-year deal on his first extension coming out of the AHL, and then his second deal was 8 years, $9.5 million a year, right? So
golfing with Barstool.
Yeah. Oh my God, the sandbagger, and they were talking. It's a great video.
You're an idiot if you don't take that.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody else is. But then fucking Darnell Nurse and Edmonton's also making that much, right?
So worth it.
All right, next guy. So Kirill Marchenko, yes, absolutely. We're both re-signing that guy.
Yeah.
Cole Sillinger, 20 years old. Same deal. $925,000 two-way on an expiring deal. RFA. Love it or shove it.
Love it. I put him to like $2 million. I do think he's showing his role on a team, and I think I think if he continues the process that he's been doing, I'm excited. I'm kind of leaning with Jordan now. Give him $2 million, 3-4 years.
Yeah, I get 3 year deal on that bridge guy. Deal. Get him to 23. You don't usually see like 4, 5, 6 year deals, right? It's Mm-mm, three. Yeah. It's 3 years or
three
7 or 8
years.
Like it's kind of what it is.
Yeah,
that's what it's been recently in this market. But I agree with that. He's 20 years old. I mean, he's way younger than we think, right? It feels like he's been on this team forever. All of a sudden,
yeah.
You know, like one of those college players, like Aaron Kraft with Ohio State basketball. He's
He only
played 4 or 5 years, but it felt like he was there for a decade.
That's true.
Kind of the same deal with Cole Sillinger, I think. I think he does get a team like a hometown friendly deal there.
Yeah.
I think he's in the $3 to $4 million range as well for the next three. Okay. If when they do end up re-signing him.
I can be in the middle with a 2.5.
Yeah. I mean, now then I look at Boone Jenner, who is kind of their I feel like Cole Sillinger is like the next Boone Jenner in training.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Boone Jenner's still at like a $4 million deal or a little under $4 million, 3.75, I think, for the next 2-3 years.
Crazy.
So that's kind of like you kind of have a guideline there, I guess, is what I wanted to say. We both love it on Cole Sillinger. Bring him back. The next one is Yegor Chinnikov, $800,000 right now, 23 years old. He's an RFA. Love it or shove it.
Man, oh, he has such potential. I'm going to love it. Love it 2 years, maybe one and a half. Because if we, I think there's such good opportunities with that Russian line. If you get all three of them, just continue to play with each other during the summer, during camp, during preseason, during the season, I think they could be such a good line together.
I agree with that. And I think that those three being together, mm-hmm. and I think I'm not, you know, Provorov being kind of that veteran presence who is also Russian, who has mm-hmm. been in the league and can kind of show these guys the way. I think those three specifically, being Voronkov, Marchenko, and Chinnikov, playing together makes them better, which is in turn going to make them more money in the long run if they continue mm-hmm. that. You know what I mean? I think that Chinnikov, if he does a 2-year deal, one or 2-year deal for Chinnikov, I only say that because the front office is not going to want to give him a super long-term deal right now because he's not proven yet. Now, mm-hmm. he's definitely shown what he can do, and I think Marchenko's kind of in the same boat there.
Yeah.
But Chinnikov, like the injury issues he had last season, right? You know, he wasn't here all season. He was in Cleveland a lot. Mm-hmm. I think, $1.5 to $2 million for a 1 to 2 year deal for him would be perfect for that and for this team.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Love it. We both love it then. Next one, Carson Meyer, 26 years old, Powell, Ohio native, $775,000 AAV right now on a two-way deal RFA. Love it or shove it.
Love it. He does well in the AHL. I think he'll still have some time down there. Yeah, maybe he'll get up to $1 million. I love it. I think that there's not going to be much change in his contract from what he's at now, but I think he's going to continue with that AHL main focus right now.
Yeah, I am going to shove that. I love Carson Meyer. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great dude. I've got to meet him a few times, talked to him a few times. He's mm-hmm. just had a kid, like Powell, Ohio, just an awesome overall human being. I think you have to keep him on a two-way deal, though. So the other guys right now that we were talking about, Texier is on a one-way deal, so his 1.5 AAV counts towards the cap.
Yeah.
But everybody else that we've talked about since then is on a two-way deal, and their salaries do not count towards the cap mm-hmm. space. So bringing those guys in on all those deals then adds millions to your cap hit, that guys like Carson Meyer, Alex Nylander, who's our next guy who's on a one-way deal, right now, who's going to be an RFA. Like, you have to kind of start thinking about money at that point. And I think a guy like Carson Meyer at 26 years old has to stay at a two-way deal or else he cannot be on this team anymore. That's where I'm at with that. And I hate to say that, but that just makes the most sense to me. I don't know. You can't have a guy like Carson Meyer who only came up because of the injuries that have happened and the trades and everything like that, because they have to fill spots. You cannot put a guy like that on a one-way deal and have him count when he wasn't here all season.
Yeah.
Only when they needed him.
It's true.
All right. Nylander, what do you think? So, Carson Meyer, you love it. I shove it. I think that you keep him on a two-way deal, if anything, at the same price. You don't really offer much of an extension there. Alex Nylander, 26 years old. He's on a one-way deal right now at $775,000. So, under $1 million against the cap hit right now. He's an RFA. Love it or shove it. Re-signing him.
I love it, and I do think I do put trust in the front office and being realistic with what we make an offer for. But I do think he's really molded well with the team, and I'm not just saying that because he's gotten points. He's created opportunities for the team.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be. He still has 13 or so games to continue to prove that, and then we'll see what happens from there. But I love it. I'm very happy with what we've done so far.
I agree.
And it's not Bemstrom. If it was Bemstrom, shove it.
Yeah, and maybe we'll be saying the same thing about Nylander in a few years like we did about Bemstrom, right? But
I don't know.
And like every other fan base that he's played for has also said about him. But I also love the Alex Nylander extension. I think that you do extend him.
Yeah.
Any extension a year or longer would put him into UFA, I believe. He is 26 years old. I think at $1 million top for like two or 3 years, I think. probably a year. I mean, based off the end of the season he's had right now, I bet his agent can get him into like the $1 million for 1 year range, like a prove me deal.
Yeah.
Like a prove me year, right? To get more money the year after, bet on yourself.
Yeah.
I could absolutely see that happening. So, and I'd be fine with that. $1 million for a year for this guy who's come in and 8 goals in 11 games or 12 games, something like that.
You keep the same pace and improve a year.
And he's fitting in, right? Like he's coming in. One of my favorite things out of this is almost every time he scored a goal, he's on the same line as Cole Sillinger.
Yeah.
Cole Sillinger skates over to him and hugs him and gives him a kiss on the cheek. Almost every single time. Like it just immediately fits in. Like Cole Sillinger's kissing him on the cheek. He just belongs here, right? It's just what it feels like. I love Nylander on this team.
I do too.
And I want him here again next season.
Hell yeah.
All right, moving on from Nylander, Brennan Gaunce. This is just the forwards we're going through right now. This is how many there are. It's unbelievable. This should have been a segment on its own. Brennan Gaunce, 29 years old, at $762,000. He's a UFA going into next season, so he can sign with anybody. He's on a two-way deal right now, though, so he does not count towards the cap. Love it or shove it on Gaunce.
Shove it. I think he's done pretty good, but it just, I think we can do fine without him.
Yeah.
And I don't see a reason to sign him on to keep him if it's not going to be like another two way. I think
it would be like I'm also shoving him to the AHL.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do, it's going to be a monster's contract or something to where,
yeah,
if you need to bring him up, he's up right now on an emergency loan, as are a few others, but yeah, I'm with you on that. Shove that contract. That just doesn't make any sense for me right now. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, it's been fun. All right, next one. Going into defense here. We only have a few left. Defense, this is a big one. This is probably the biggest one, cap space-wise. Jake Bean. Jake Bean is an RFA going into next season. Jake Bean's only 25 years old. For those, which I didn't realize, like, I always forget how young he is, right? 25 years old, $2.3 million AAV right now, RFA going into next season. Are you loving that or shoving that?
Shove it. Trade him. Get something for it. Don't re-sign him. I think we've got the most exciting part when it comes to like the players that are coming.
Well, you can't trade. Can't trade him at this point. Trade deadline's passed. And you have to. You now would have to.
But that goes to next year. He's got
sign
1 year
him to an extent.
So,
sign him to a contract to trade him.
Or we just,
because his contract ends at the free agency window, which is when you can start trading again.
Which is next, going into next year.
Right, but his contract is only good until the end of the season, so he has no contract. You can't trade his contract.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just shove
when
it.
The off season starts.
Just shove it.
Yeah, you think just let him go, see if somebody else signs an offer? Because he's an RFA, so another team to sign him in free agency would then have to have an offer sheet, sign an offer sheet of what they want to pay him. So say Carolina comes in and wants to pay him $3 million a year, the Blue Jackets could either match that and then pay Jake Bean $3 million a year to keep him on the team, or get compensation, which would be like 2 third-round draft picks, I believe. In future years.
Yeah, let him go.
Yeah?
Yeah, shove it. I like what we've got coming up on the defensive side. I think Yurachak will be back. We'll start having that. Soville fella.
I am also, I shove it. I think that you should just, assign and trade possibly, or I don't know if that's a thing in the NHL, but 2.3, like he's gonna want more money going into his 26-year-old season, more than 2.3. And you, like you said, with the prospects coming up, I mean, I feel like maybe letting Jake Bean go to an offer sheet would be just worth the compensation you get for that at this point.
And we have so many players on the defensive side that are making so much.
We've got
Werenski making what he gets.
He's on the bottom end. So Jake Bean is at 2.3. So Boqvist is at 2.6. Gudbranson's at $4 million. Provorov's at 4.7. Damon Severson's at 6.2, and Werenski's at 9.5.
We've got too much money into some of these players to try and think about giving him more, in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then Jake Christensen's the last one. 24 years old, two-way deal, RFA, love it or shove it.
Shove it, keep it two-way deal. I think, I don't know. I don't think he's going to be a big NHL name.
Yeah, no, he's not. I mean, that's just, yeah, he's not going to be. He's a depth guy.
Yeah.
Kind of like Carlson was, even though Carlson was a first-round pick, and kind of how Peak was as well. I shove it to the AHL as well, just for that reason. Another one I forgot too, Kent Johnson, 21 years old, two-way deal right now, RFA. Kent Johnson, love it or shove it. He's on the IR here, so he was at the bottom of the list.
Love it. Two and a half?
Yeah, I love it as well. 3-year deal. Get him to 24 years old, and then he can sign another bridge after that. Yeah. No long term here, I don't think. But a 3-year deal, I think probably between $2.5 and $3 million range for 3 years to get him to 24 years old. And then if he's proves it, that's another prove it contract. And if you get it to that point, then you get your career deal. So
agreed.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with that. So sorry that took so long, right? Yeah. I mean, that was kind of ridiculous, but
no,
we're still in news and notes, kind of. We'll cut some shit out here, but
no, we're good.
That's kind of what we're looking at coming up here. The new GM has a lot to do. There are so many RFAs, so many contracts that need dealt with coming up here. Yeah. And that's not even to mention the ones coming up next season.
Yeah, dude.
Which there's more of those. So
I'm excited for it. There's no chance that a GM is not excited at what they have at hand here.
That's what I tweeted something about the game last night. I tweeted this morning about how I think that the injuries are definitely playing a part in what the team is doing right now, and how they've kind of, they blew a lead and fell apart in the third period, and how the trades, Jack Roslovic and Peak now moving out and them having to kind of scramble to find players to fill those spots,
mm-hmm.
as Jack Roslovic plays on the first line in New York as soon as he gets traded, right?
Yeah.
But you're finding players to fill these spots, and I think that is a huge, huge deal. And somebody responded to me saying the new GM is going to have a lot to, like, they're going to be, you know, sad or mad. Like, there was some about how much they have to do when they get here. On my end, I see that as like a fun, exciting. Like that's a challenge. That's an exciting challenge that you get to come into with this a top three prospect pool in the league,
mm-hmm.
By anybody's metrics, top three prospect pool in the league coming in with this kind of wiggle room with the contracts coming up and the cap ceiling going up $4 million next season.
That too, yeah.
You know, you have all this coming up. So I think it's a very exciting time right now.
Yeah.
To come in and to be any prospect GM for the Blue Jackets.
I agree, man. It's going to be cool. Can't wait to get Bruce Brudeau.
Also, prediction, JD does not extend after his contract. He has 2 years left on his deal, on his contract. After next season, he's out of here.
I don't think he's just out of here. I think he'll just be done.
He's just going to retire.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to retire after that. So I think JD is now doing the job of bringing in the guy that's going to take this team past JD, and JD knows this,
and then that's
what's happening, right? That's why he's taking so much time, because JD truly cares about this team.
Oh yeah, in absolutely. The city. That's why he came back.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, he did leave us, but he did come back. He did come back, and he truly cares about this team, the city, these fans, and what happens with this team. So I think that's why they're truly taking their time to find what's coming up here.
Didn't he play for the Rangers?
I believe so.
So yeah, I would 100% take that opportunity.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, it's the Rangers. Put that on your resume. Who cares?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know that you'll be able to come back to your old...
He took Panarin with him.
Yeah, I know. That's stupid two-car garage. Now they got Panarin, Winberg, and Roslovic.
It's ridiculous. all right. That's all I had for news and notes. I was going to talk about rule changes coming up, but those haven't actually happened yet. It's just...
Proposals.
The GM meetings were this... were this last weekend, and they were talking about all those things. So, all right. Moving on.
Okay.
The news and notes were a long one.
You don't
one.
Like it. Get kick rocks.
We're at 45 minutes, and we're just getting into segment one. So we had some stuff. We had some contract stuff to talk about there. You know, we had to get it out the way.
It's what the people want.
Grow
up.
Segment one, which we're only doing it. We're going to do this segment and then do Let's Get Social right after. So we're going to do a crystal ball segment real quick, another game. It's, you know, we don't have a ton of talk about, so we'll just talk about what we think is going to happen in the next 3 years. Now that we've established that we're in the middle of a rebuild, right?
Yeah. I don't know all the questions, so I'm coming in fresh.
Oh, it's going to be so fresh. All right. So first thing here, let's talk about in the future. Let's go 3 years in the future.
Okay.
It is 2027. We're in March of 2027, and we're looking at the team and what it is now.
Yeah.
Who is the captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets in 2027?
2027. Our captain will still be Boone Jenner.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's probably a good guess. He's got 3 years, 2 years left on his deal, 3 years?
I think he's got 3 years, so that's it could be his last year as a captain, but he'll still be the captain.
Oh, actually, I need to look at that now. All 26, 27 year, he will be a UFA, so.
Oh.
Yeah, he has 2 years left on his deal after this season. So
okay, we'll re-sign him.
Re-sign him as the
captain. Yeah, he'll still be a captain, yeah.
I am going to go a different route there.
Ooh.
I think Boone Jenner will not be re-signed after his contract is up.
Okay.
Or traded beforehand.
Yeah.
And Adam Fantilli will be the captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I love it.
Adam Fantilli knows already at his young age what it takes to win in any aspect of any part of life that he's in, I think. He has got that shit already figured out. From every interaction I've had with him, how he carries himself, how he talks to the media, how he talks to his teammates, everything that he does is already professional. And it's so professional. More professional than most, I think.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he needs to be and what it takes to win in this city. And I think I think the front office already knows that. At this point, we lucked into getting Adam Fantilli at number three overall last season. So
no diss to Leo. It's just,
no, I think Leo's going to be a great player, but not a great leader like Adam Fantilli is going to be.
I agree.
I think he's going to be the captain that starting then. And then the captain throughout his, like, then he's going to sign a long-term deal. He's going to be here for 8 years. It's going to be a $10 million deal, all this shit. Like, we have our guy right there in Adam Fantilli. All right, moving on to the next thing here. Who will be the leading scorer on this team at the end of the 26-27 season?
Like goal score? Like points?
Just point. Let's just do point. I have score. Let's just point. Let's do goals. Goals is the more.
Ooh.
Let's do goals. Yeah, because assists, I mean, that could be a defenseman on this team, honestly. So
I think it'll be whoever's on the first line. And first line capabilities. First line potential will be, oh man, we got Adam
Marchenko, Chinnikov, Voronkov, Texier could be up there at that point, Cole Sillinger.
Line A could be gone.
Line A could be re-signed, I guess, at that point.
Yeah, it could be re-signed or gone. I'm going to say Fantilli.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think he's definitely going to be playing with Goudreau, who's got 40 assists this year. It's only going to be more as he gets on like a solid single line with someone. And I think Adam's going to be 100% be at that center line.
Yes.
Adam.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from with that. I've seen comparisons to the player I'm going to say to David Pastrnak.
You think so?
And I think
Bucci-Gross?
I've seen it. Yes, I have seen it from him, and I agree with Bucci on that one, which is rare for me. I don't agree with him mostly. I think Marchenko will be the leading scorer this season. I think that once he figures out that he needs to shoot more than anything, he's going to. It's been crazy recently how much he has not just been shooting and passing instead.
What's happened with him?
Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Is it something that, like,
I have to say it's coaching, right? I mean, I don't know.
But like, even Pascal's like, I want you to just play. That's why he benched him that one game. It was like,
but it's the second time he's benched him for him not doing the right, like him just playing his game. And there's turnovers and there's shit and there's accountability and all these things, but it's not like consistent. And it's just kind of, it almost feels like Marchenko's being singled out, and he feels that, I think. And that's kind of why he's playing more conservative than he has been.
Kind of like Torts with his captain.
I wish Torts was still here.
I still absolutely do. Yeah, I can absolutely see that happening. I'm so excited for the next few years with Marchenko.
I truly, like, this is going to sound crazy and dumb, and people are going to tell me that I have the worst takes of all time, like they did on Twitter today and all these things, but I can foresee us having, like, a top six like Boston does now, or like Boston has had in the last 5 years with Marchand and Bergeron and Pastrnak. Those guys, like, that being Fantilli being the Marchand, Marchenko being the Pastrnak, you know, Chinnikov being the other winger. I don't know, like, the Bergeron guy, like, say Boone Jenner, but he may or may not be around at that point. But yeah, I mean, I can kind of foresee that dynamic coming forward here with this prospect pool.
Yeah,
and I absolutely, Voronkov being what he is, and you know, I can absolutely see that kind of being a thing where Fantilli has the shot but isn't scoring as much because. Yeah. He's setting up other guys because he has that hockey IQ that nobody else has, right?
So, oh, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but that's just, it's wishful thinking, maybe even, is what I'm looking for there.
And I think I think a white horse, is that the phrase? Like someone like a not
dark
really
horse.
Thought of. Dark horse?
Dark horse.
Yeah, dark horse. Dark horse is, I could see Voronkov really making some points in the next few years.
Well, is he even that at this point? Because he's like, tied with Bedard for rookie goals.
Well, he was.
Bedard's, is he not anymore?
Yeah, he's pulled far away.
Oh, I didn't realize he scored.
Like,
that
after many. We were like, they're tied for goals. I think he got like 3 goals in the next
did he really?
2 games.
I haven't paid that much attention. Okay. Yeah,
but it doesn't void the fact that, like, Voronkov has done so well with.
And it's not even the conversation.
Yeah, it's not even.
Like, they're talking about Brock Faber. Like, give me
a
fucking break.
He should be like 3rd in the votes.
Yeah.
And easily. He had like 4 votes, I think, maybe 3 votes.
Not even. I don't even know if he had any.
No, he had a few points.
It's
it was
crazy.
A literal hand, like less than a handful.
It's crazy.
But yeah, it is what it is.
All right, so that's where we're at with that. You think Fantilli leading scorer in 3 years? I think Marchenko.
I think
they'll be
on
the same line in 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're looking at 1 and 2.
Yeah, imagine that across like. Gaudreau will be around too. We're not, you know, we're not really talking much about Gaudreau. He's had a down year, I think, in his terms. But
we're talking about goals.
Yeah, goals for sure.
Yeah,
I think
he's going to be assist.
Gaudreau will be on the left wing of that first line, I think, right?
Yeah, he'll be on the left wing. Wait, would Marchenko be on the right?
Yeah, Marchenko's okay. A right winger.
Perfect. Marchenko on the right, Gaudreau on
Gaudreau's
the left.
Gaudreau's a what is a left winger? It's been playing at right wing.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's oof. Oh.
All right, so the next thing I have here is who will be the starting goaltender at the end of the 2026-27 season? In 3 years.
Sergei Ivanov.
Starting?
I think it will be his first year.
Okay.
So, like, opening night? Or we'll play the Sorry.
At this,
are we doing opening night, or are we
like
doing
imagine,
this
imagine
time 3 years?
This time at the end of the 26-27 season.
Sergei Ivanov.
All right.
He will be starting.
He has been crushing it in the KHL, yeah.
And he's going to translate. He's not going to be some Elvis stuff. He will on
the
March.
The Russians always seem to fucking like figure it out when they get here, don't they?
On March 20th, 2027, he will be the starting goalie.
All right.
We don't even
down,
know if we're playing a
mark
game.
Mark it down, low boomers. I think in 3 years, Tarasov will be the starting goaltender, and I think Ivanov, maybe even, I don't think Jet Greaves is going to pan out like people think he is. The big goaltenders are the one are ruling right now, the big guys. Vasilevsky,
yeah.
Hellebuck, Shesterkin, those are big guys. And
do we trade Jet?
I think Jet I could see him getting traded before his contract is up for sure. He's played well enough to be traded.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know a lot of people in the fan base right now think Jet Greaves is the future starter, and I disagree. And I also said this about Tarasov, but now I'm going to say Tarasov is the goaltender in 3 years. I foresee him being he's
done well.
God, don't shoot me for this, but he's kind of reminding me of Bobrovsky a little bit, and not just that he's Russian, but also just the way that he goes about the game, the way he has gotten better as he goes along. He's
pucks.
Getting more and more and more starts, and he's playing better each time. I think the Detroit game last night was kind of a anomaly for him. I mean, shit really fell apart in front of him in the last period there, but he's been playing phenomenal. I don't know his stats off the top of my head. I know it's. I think he's like around 930 over his last like six or seven games.
Damn.
So very good.
And he's 6'5".
So, and he's 6'5". He's huge. Like, he's a huge dude, and he just takes up more space. And that's the name of the game of being a goaltender is taking up as much space as possible, blocking shots, right? So
I block shots.
Yeah, take as much space up as you possibly can.
Agreed.
Yeah, he makes great decisions in the net as well. So I think it's going to be Tarasov. I think Ivanov will be backing up Tarasov in 3 years.
And that's not the question. You're saying in 3 years today, who's going to be starting?
I think it's still Tarasov.
Yeah.
Because we're in 3 years, we're contending for a playoff spot. Tarasov's our number one goaltender. Mm-hmm. Marchenko's our leading scorer, and Fantilli's the number one center. That is exactly what this team is looking like going forward. And I pray that it does not deviate from that path. all right. Got two more here for us. Contending for the playoffs in the next 3 years. I just gave you mine without even,
yeah.
You think we're contending for the playoffs in 3 years?
I think in two. So,
in two?
Yeah. I think definitely going to be in the 3 years. So, yeah. Next year? No.
All right. Well, that was a quick one. So, where do you think we finish in the Metro in 3 years? In the top? I mean, just, yeah. What? Give me a number. What position? I'm going to say they come in third in the Metro in 3 years. I'm going to say third in the Metro.
Yeah, I'm feeling that. I don't know if it'll be second.
I think 3 years, man. I don't know.
So much will change. We'll have a new GM. We'll have a new coach.
It's going to be a turnaround. There's going to be a big turnaround, and we're going to forget that these last 2 years even happened. I think that's what's coming.
What if the GM that we hire is like, I will join you guys as long as you guys fire Pascal?
Well, it'd be the GM's decision.
Well, it'll be like, I want him gone before I come in.
No. That'll be an off-season thing. Sorry, Pascal. I'm sorry. But that's... Yeah. I do not foresee Pascal Vincent being the coach next season. I can't see that happening. Unless another Babcock situation happens around here, huh? They try to hire Babcock again. Imagine that.
Hey, fool me once.
I mean, he fooled everybody once. And then he fooled us twice.
You fool me, can't get fooled again.
All right. Whatever. All right. Who is our all-star the 26-27 season?
Ugh. Curveball, we get Bemstrom back, and he's going to be him.
Bemstrom, fuck off. We know everything, Low Boomers, and we are right about everything. So whatever we're saying right now and for a three-year prediction segment is going to be correct, and you should listen to everything we're saying.
Go to your bookie.
Right now.
Have it done.
In 3 years. It's super future.
3 years, all-star. We just talked about Kirill and Adamo Fantilli being the leaders.
We should have Ben come over here and do like a betting segment on this.
All right, listen, guys.
Here's the super future for 3 years in the future. Plus 300.
Hi, Ben. Man. Okay, you know what? Celebrini.
Oh, fuck off. Are you serious? Somebody on the current roster? Like, come on.
It's my dark horse.
All right. Celebrini?
Yeah.
Really? Is our all-star in three? Okay. Fine. I'm going to say our all-star in 3 years is Adam Fantilli, because that makes the most sense.
Well, that's why.
It's between Fantilli and Marchenko. Those are the two people that have the... Those are all-stars.
I think it's
Werenski. Werenski's always a safe bet.
Yeah, that's true.
Werenski is a safe bet for all-star in 3 years.
He did win that event on the water in Vegas.
Bellagio.
Bellagio, the fountain.
And the fountain, the Bellagio fountains. He won that.
Yeah, stupid.
I was there the weekend before that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you
that's
were.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
God, lost so much
money. No, and I was there.
The weekend after.
No, I think I was there just before you. I was flying out like the day before.
That's
you
right.
Flew
we
in.
Missed each other by like a day.
Yeah.
By a day.
Yep.
When I flew into Vegas and you flew out of Vegas, you were there for work. I was there for other things.
You were to have fun.
Fun is a word. Yeah. My bank account didn't think so.
Mm-mm.
All right. Anyways, we're done there. 3 year predictions. We know everything. Everything is correct.
Set in stone. Talk to your bookie.
Talk to your bookie. We're going to move on here. We're going to get social. We're at an hour.
Yeah,
that was like a 15-minute segment.
Grow up. We're fine.
We're at an hour. We're good. We're going to get social. We're going to talk about some things on the social media that has been happening because, as we know, Lil Boomer, social media rules all, and all is social media.
Ugh. except for, man, I hope everybody had fun in Detroit.
And I mean everybody.
Everybody.
We really hope you had fun in Detroit. Everybody.
All right. First one. So whenever we sent out the questions, it was just going to be a U-Pod. And then I jumped in and I was like, I can do it. So this comes from Stu Sickles at BS Beef.
Friend of the pod.
Little brother. Dear Kyle, random question time. Is Braden the best producer ever on this pod? It's a long string, so I'm going to go one by one.
I'm going to say no, because he's still learning, and Jordan is the best producer.
He is. So I would counter with, like, outside of Jordan, yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah.
He's done great.
Yeah.
We've had a small handful.
We've had a few that were here not as long as Braden, so Braden has the tenure, yeah. So which makes him the best by default.
Shout out, Producer Pat.
Hey, oh, my God. Producer Pat. Married with a kid now.
I love that. I knew he was
getting
married.
He's so happy as a human now. I love that for him.
He's such a cute boy.
Yes. Oh, he's such a great guy.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
I miss Pat.
Oh, Patrick. All right. Friends or The Office? The Office.
The Office. It's not even close. I like David Schwimmer because I like making fun of him. Just because
I'm
think he's
fine.
Yeah. And Jennifer Aniston's hot, but The Office by far.
Jim Halpert's hot.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Ginger or Marianne?
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
No. Favorite English Premier League team?
In a few years, it's going to be Wrexham when they make the Premier League.
Yeah, buddy.
Right now, they're in the EF2, I think. They have a few years before they get promoted. They have a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, by proxy, it is Manchester City. No, Manchester United. Man U? Yeah, Man
Arsenal.
U's my team. Because Tyler loves
Man U. Yeah.
Man U kits.
He does.
He loves them.
Arsenal for me.
Arsenal?
Yeah.
We're also going to go to the game that was announced that's going to be played at the Shoe. It's Man City and Chelsea, I think, are playing at the Shoe next season.
That's sweet.
We're going to go to that. That'll be a fun one.
On the artillery card.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. IPA or pale ale?
They're the same thing. Those are the same thing.
Indian pale ale or pale ale?
They're the exact same thing.
I'll go to pale ale because I'm American. I'll go with Dale ale.
I'm a BrewDog Elvis Juice fan. I like the Cannon Blast also. They stopped selling those at the arena. I'd rather have a Cannon Blast, but they don't have those at the arena anymore.
Those were good. He said steak or seafood, and then he changed it to steak or pizza.
Oh, I see. I'm gonna stick with the steak or pizza over steak. Is that crazy?
It's
pizza over steak? Is that crazy?
It's not, because you got to look at the long run.
Steak red meat does not sit well with me. I love steak. I think I love the way it tastes.
Yeah.
It doesn't sit well with me.
There's so many varieties of pizza that you can do. Like,
I also had a steak salad from Local Roots the other day, and it was oh my God, it was fucking delicious.
Doesn't that sound good?
Mm.
Ugh.
But I've had like some of the best I eat pizza every Friday at work. We get Joe's Pizza from Bexley, and it is the best pizza I've ever had.
Oh, man. I think I go pizza. I think there's so many varieties to make with it. Steak, you just have steak.
Or seafood, I'm going seafood.
I would go steak.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's not a knock against seafood.
I love seafood.
I do like some
seafood.
Give me
some fucking scallops and shrimp and little fish, baby. Oh, some lobster tail.
Scallop slap. When me and Haley went to Atlantic City for a wedding / our anniversary, never go to Atlantic City. I did get a whole lobster, and it was like, I never felt like such an ass.
Why?
Such a pretentious ass.
Yeah, it is super pretentious.
Yeah.
It's $75 for a lobster, and you don't get that much out of it.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was a pretty big one. Because we're like, it's our anniversary.
We went to Aruba in December with my family, Danny and I did, and we went to this restaurant in Aruba that was as a high class. We didn't know it was a high class restaurant until we got there, but like, we're talking $80 a plate kind of restaurant. So we get in there, it's myself, Danny, and my two sisters, and I'm covering the bill for everybody. I already know this going in, but Kelsey has split with me, so I'll give her the credit. We split it in half, so that was great.
Good.
But we get there, and the lobster, we want a king crab, my youngest sister, Chloe, she's 14. She wanted king crab the whole time. You can't really get king crab in the southern parts of the world because that's not where they are from, right?
Yeah.
So they have to import them. You get king crab in the northern, like in Maine.
Yeah.
That's where you go for crab. So we're in Aruba. She wants king crab. So we go to this place because they have to have king crab. It's a seafood restaurant. No, king crab for like two legs is $80.
Holy moly.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's the transportation.
It's so crazy. A whole lobster was $140.
Oh man.
For just one lobster. Oof. What? That is insane.
Oh, I would do it.
We did. I spent so much money at that fucking restaurant. So, and I'll never forget it. But that's cool.
Hey, it's worth it.
I got a few paychecks since then. I got that money back. We're good to go, and I'll never forget that. So, can't take your money when you go, baby.
Listen, something about me, man. I will pay good money for good food.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of
and
it.
In the right setting, when it's going to be a memory and you know it, mm-hmm. like this is a memorable meal.
Yeah.
Just fucking go for it.
You mix in a good memory.
Don't worry about the prices. Mm-hmm. Like, just go for it if you can.
Yep. I agree. Mix in a good memory with what I would say some food is art.
I agree with that. And it was. It was absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm.
Display.
We loved
all that
every
stuff.
Bite of it.
So good. Good questions, Stu. We still got some more, so we'll go through them quick. Rock or country?
Rock.
Rock. Ketchup or ranch?
Ooh, ranch.
Ranch is more universal than ketchup is.
It is. I can dip my fries in ranch. I can't dip my pizza in ketchup.
Yeah. He has two more, Seth Jones or Rick Nash?
Oh, my God. Rick Nash.
Yeah.
Rick Nash.
Rick Nash. And then glass half full or glass half empty?
Half empty, baby.
I'm so glass half full. It's disgusting.
We're half empty, and don't you forget it.
We're going to die.
We're all. Nobody gets out of here alive. All right. Next question. From the Finn, at CBJ Finn, friend of the pod. Give Nylander contract? If yes, then how long? What kind of contracts do you see for Chip? We already kind of talked about this. But
we did all that. So great question, Finn. We answered it. Go back to like a half of the pod.
And yes, to Nylander.
Yeah.
Money, $1 million. 1 year.
Yeah, prove it year.
Prove it year, baby. Next question.
Next question comes from Gopnik Hockey Life.
Friend of the pod. He's friend of the pod.
Yeah, that's all I can say. Meet us in person, man. Or woman. Or whatever. The Jackets have 13 games left in this season. Outside of Pittsburgh and Arizona, the other teams on the schedule will likely be pushing for playoff spots. How many games do you see Jackets winning on their remaining schedule?
Yeah. Do you want to know the remaining schedule?
Say it real quick, and I'm going to say win-loss.
All right. Give me, like, let's fill like, in the next 15 seconds of nothingness because I need to pull up their schedule.
Looking up the schedule.
All right. I got the schedule. All right. So.
Give me 15 seconds. I found it.
All right. So Friday, there's a West Coast swing starting on Friday, and then I'm just going to go through the teams here. So Colorado.
Loss.
Vegas.
Loss.
Arizona.
Loss.
Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Colorado.
Loss.
Islanders.
Loss.
Flyers.
Loss.
Canes.
Loss.
Tampa Bay.
Loss.
Panthers.
Loss.
Nashville.
Loss.
At Nashville.
Loss.
Canes.
Loss.
That's the rest of the games this season. The only, like, truly bad team in winnable game that's not Arizona. Is Arizona.
We will not beat Pittsburgh.
But and also, Pittsburgh is not a playoff team, but we never, ever, ever beat Pittsburgh for any fucking reason, unless it's the last game of the season in a year where Bedard is the number one pick, and we beat them in overtime because Goudreau puts one under Jari's legs, and it's a canvas in my bedroom that Danny took because she shot that game, and it's just hanging in my bedroom.
It's such a good
shot. It's such a great fucking picture. It's the best picture I've ever seen. And it's of the situation is unbelievable that we win that game and lose our lottery position. We still got Fantilli. We still got Fantilli. We got Fantilli. Yep. I fucking love Adam Fantilli. Yeah, it's Colorado, Vegas, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Colorado, Islanders, Philly, Carolina, Tampa, Florida, Nashville, Carolina. It is, the schedule is unbelievable coming up. Losses. I foresee I could see them like losing out.
And you said we're not going to catch up with San Jose.
But the other side of that is like they've played good teams really well this year.
They have.
Overall, I think. Like maybe not overall, but for the most part, like the better teams they've played up. Now we haven't had that many injuries and the AHL team has not been around like they are right now, but it's going to be interesting to say the least. Man. Anyways.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to win one.
It's not going to be very many, if any. next question. From Logan Smith at LogSmith07.
Log.
Who currently on the roster do you not see making the team next year?
Also kind of went through that a bit on the cap. Love it or shove it, but man, I don't know. Like the people that have contracts with us, I don't know.
Not making it like that. That's not making the pro team. I see like Puthia not making the team next year. Christensen probably won't make the team next year.
Oh, yeah, these call-ups, yeah, put him back down.
I don't see Carson Meyer is not going to make the team next year.
Yeah, put him back down.
The fill of prospects we have coming in, I think, are going to outdo a lot of what's happening right now.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Next question. Anthony K. at Go in French underscore Anthony 19. Who should CBJ sign in free agency this summer?
I don't even Bertuzzi. Know who potential free agents are.
I think Bertuzzi's one.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't want Bertuzzi.
I do.
Really?
You know who should sign? Someone I did see that was on the list, because I did see this question earlier whenever I was like, hey, I can make the pod. I saw that one, and I was like, I'm going to look it up. Jakub Voracek?
No. Voracek is doing podcasts now. He's on the
Let's get
Coyotes
him on.
Payroll, and he's doing podcasts. Yeah. It's
I love
so,
it. Hey, can you play today? No.
It's so funny. Some notable free agents coming up are Sam Reinhart.
Sign him.
He's going to re-sign with the Panthers.
He will.
Jake Guentzel, I don't foresee that happening.
What is he, like 6 million?
He's at 6 million right now, 29 years old. Mm. Very, like, dynamic goal scorer he was for the Penguins. They were very upset to see him go.
Oh, yeah.
Elias Lindholm, but I think that maybe he got an extension. There's not a lot coming up. Stamkos, he's going to re-sign with Tampa.
Who's going to break the news to Steven Stamkos?
I don't know. I mean, maybe Matt Duchene is somebody that could come up.
No.
He's 34. I mean, I know that there's history there, but...
Let's bring Marchessault back.
Marchessault, right. Can you believe we had him on this team at one point?
What if... Because weren't we, like, in, like, pretty deep discussions about Elias for a minute?
There were trade rumors about Lindholm coming here, but I believe Lindholm got traded and signed an extension.
Let's bring him in.
So I don't know. The free agent question, I don't know. And I don't know that like, we haven't been super prominent in free agency, barring Goudreau, right? I mean, before that, Goudreau fell in our lap because he reached out to Columbus.
He did. I love
to come
that.
Here. Like Columbus, now there were... Obviously, there were feelers out for Goudreau. Like, you're going to be a UFA, and do you want to sign here? We'd love to offer you an extent, like a contract. Obviously, that's called due diligence as being a general manager. But he told Columbus, "Oh yeah, I want to sign here." Okay, yeah, whatever you do. Yeah, come on, come on. So, barring that, like, there hasn't been a ton of free agent. Like before that, Gus Nyquist was the best free agent signing in team history.
That's not saying nothing.
You're right.
Only person I care about, Tyler Toffoli. Bring him in.
He signed an extension.
Did he?
Yeah, he's locked down for a while.
Gosh dang it, man.
He's not. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Whatever. I want him.
I'm pretty sure he's not going to be a free agent, though. I think he signed like a... I don't know. I'm not even going to speculate on that. I don't even know.
It's fine.
Next question from Matt at Matt Murdock 2112.
Daredevil?
With an impending GM hire, should we be expecting major changes with roster construction? I have a feeling the landscape with this team is going to change drastically.
First off, very impressed with your ability to type so well with your blindness, Matt. Second, no, we have such good depth in the players that we have that really matter. I think we talked about the ones that are going to get re-signed. I don't think there's going to be any craziness on the signings that we have in the offseason for who's on our roster. I think the depth that we have is great. I don't think there's going to be any crazy change-ups in terms of lineup.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the craziest change we'll see is goaltending.
Or GM.
With an impending GM hire, right? Yeah. I mean, obviously, the GM coming in. I think there will be a coaching change. That will be a drastic change. That doesn't count towards the roster, though, I don't think, in the construction. I think the roster construction, including prospects right now, is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that takes now a head coach that we know will move these guys in the right direction. The players are there, though, in my opinion, barring injuries. I think the players are there, and having the head, it comes back to the head coach, because we know this talent is there. We've seen it.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't play out, it comes back to the coach. So that's where I'm at with that.
Yeah. And that leads into the DBs. America flag, British flag, Barno Stormer. Has Pazzi done enough to keep his job? I say he's worse than Larson. No, I don't think he's done enough to keep the job.
No, I don't think he's done enough either, but I don't think he's worse than Larson. I think it's a hard thing to say with coaches. Is he worse or better? I don't know. They both got thrown into weird situations. Pascal Vincent wasn't supposed to be the head coach this year, and yet he's taken this team to a better spot. I mean, they're at 58 points now. Right now with 12 games left, and they ended last season with 59 points.
But we're not winning another game, I already told you.
They may not win another game, right? So they may get one OTL out of these next 12.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, I think overall they have progressed. There has not been as many injuries this season. But I think goal scoring-wise and even goaltending-wise, you know, besides how much we've been talking shit about Merz Lincolns, but – I think even goaltending-wise, they've progressed as well. They've gotten better with Tarasov coming back healthy. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but again, I don't think he's done enough. I think that this team now needs a coach to see them through the rebuild and further and beyond. I mean, into a playoff contention spot. They need another Torts.
Yeah, I agree. David Gast _ photography at David _ Gast _. Good job. Which remaining home game should I go to? Next to last.
Let me pull up the schedule again. I mean,
I say the next
last home game of the season is always a good one to go to. Oh my goodness. Pittsburgh on Saturday, March 30th would be a good one to go to. There's only 4 home games left, Lil Boomers. Only 4 left. 5 what? Left. There's 5 home games left.
Crazy.
So Colorado's coming in. That'd be a good one to go to just to see, like, McKinnon, that just force of a team.
To see him do fantastic.
Saturday, April 6th, John Tortorella and Cam Atkinson will be back in Nationwide Arena with the Philadelphia Flyers.
Okay, I do have to say the last one because that'll be our first game back home in, like, a week and a half. So we play Flyers April 6th, our next to last home game, and then we don't play at home again to our last game, which is on the 16th. So that's 10 days without a home game. So I'd say go to that one.
Yeah, the Canes game. Last game of the season, Canes.
Yeah, go to that one.
And they'll be fighting for a playoff spot at that point, I think, if they're not already.
Oh, yeah. They should be in it by then.
We'll see. I don't know. All right. I got, like, one more question.
Yeah, go for it.
Did you see any other ones on there that were any good?
Yeah, maybe one more, depending on which one
you have. I got 2 more, I guess.
Okay, go for it.
From Justin Needham at JNeedham24, friend of the pod. Why aren't you in Vegas with me? Because I'm...
Let's get married.
Yeah. Marry me, Justin. Oh. What? Ooh. I'm not in Vegas because I'm not married to you, Needham. That's why. If we were married, you would have taken me to Vegas.
Next one. And I also think it's the last one. I think we did all the questions. Donald Bradner at Sir Don the Seventh. Question, would you be upset if we start next season with the same goalie tandem? I'd be fine with Terry and Elvis, especially considering Elvis is almost untradeable and in a buyout would be really expensive. Elvis is a serviceable number two. If we start the same team next, I think we are.
I wouldn't be upset. I mean, I guess it's what's going to be.
Yeah.
Elvis is a serviceable number two, absolutely, but he does not see himself as that. He has said that this season. He knows in his own brain that he's a number one. Doesn't play like one, but he thinks that he is. And when he came to the Blue Jackets from Latvia, he demanded a one-way contract. He would not take a two-way contract. That was part of his demands and his agent's demands, which are an extension of Elvis. So that was something we've talked about on this podcast years ago when he signed that contract that, you know, he's always, since the beginning, thought he's a number one. So I think he is a serviceable number two, but he doesn't think so, so it's not going to work out that way. And that's what it is. It's just what it is.
Yeah. So we're I don't see a way we're not going to have them next season. I think it's going to be those two.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Number one, number two, doesn't matter in my book. The way I have to look at it is, I would love if Scary Terry continues his, would you say, like 0.93 in the last five games or so?
So, yeah.
Keeps that going, like, in the next season, and then we can just look at it as, like, we're paying $5 million for him and we're paying nothing for Elvis. So, just switch the names with the contracts and we're good.
Wait, I didn't look at... Yeah, Tarasov... Yeah, Tarasov's one-way contract for next season at $1 million, so...
Yeah, so we got Elvis for $1 million, we got Scary Terry for $5 million.
All right, I mean, yeah.
Good job, new GM.
All right, last question.
Oh!
From Seth Ollum at Seth Ollum.
Oh.
Do you believe the Jackets are a head coach away from being playoff contenders?
Ollum.
yes, I... Well, I mean, that and a consistent goaltending tandem. I think they're that far away. And just the players we have now aging and getting more experience, which is exactly what is happening. So, yes, I think we're about that far away. It's not far off.
We are very close. And life advice, would it be a good idea to quit my job, go to college, then coach football at my alma mater? Thanks and love you, Kyle.
Oh, love you too, Seth. Thank you. Wow. What job do you have? Also, how much is your alma mater offering to coach football there? Also, can you do both things at the same time? Probably not, because college football coaching takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And who is your alma mater? I have so many questions.
There's some fillers. You know his handle.
Oh, wait. I'm looking. Hold on. I'm going to look at his. Oh, my gosh. It's not loading. Comets. Is that... I'm looking at the profile picture here.
What about it?
It's the Comets. Who's the that's a high school picture. I'm looking at his profile picture. He's wearing a football jersey. Seeing what his alma mater is. It's the Comets. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, me neither.
Central Crossing?
Just pray on it.
Just pray on it, sleep on it, buddy, and you'll figure out the right answer. Because that's... Yes, you should quit your job. Quit your job and go coach football. Do it. And then tell them Bucket Hat Kyle sent you, and they'll give you more money.
There you go.
All right, we're done here.
We're done here.
That was the last question. We have no more questions.
We took an appropriate amount of time.
We didn't do an ad read. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. We'll have Jordan do it.
Yeah, Jordan can do it. thanks for listening. It's episode number 278.
Yeah, dude.
Episode 278 of the Artillery Podcast.
We're almost at 3,000.
Almost at 3,000. Thanks for listening, everybody. Who knows? I don't even remember what we talked about at this point, but we have to go back and record more things now. But
yeah, maybe.
It's fine.
It's okay.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to tune in to 279, episode 278. Have a good night, little boomers.
It's been new to your dad.
Kyle.